Peter is going to come and bring our two final readings.
Our first reading is taken from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18, and that is on page 628, page 628 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 139 and verses 13 through 18. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We now move forward to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 17, on page 1113, page 1113, Acts chapter 17, and we'll be reading verses 24 to 31. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath, and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, for he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like silver or gold or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. And God will bless to us those readings from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Wonderful words of scripture, aren't they there? We thank God that those words are preserved for us. The Bible, full of the heart of God, full of the thoughts of God, and full of the word of God. And we're so grateful to be able to read those words. Man has tried to destroy the Bible over the centuries, and he's not been able to, because the word is living and is active. Our great creator, we've read about, our great saviour, and the judge of all the earth. The great designer. I want to think a little bit about the violin and the parallels that there are for us in our lives before we come to the Lord as Saviour and then as believers. We spoke briefly with the children about the designer of the violin. It takes years to become a violin designer. It's about 6 years in college, training, learning, and then years alongside another master maker to be able to make the intricate instrument. God is the greatest designer. When we look at our world, there's no way we can say there was a bang and it happened. There's too much design, complex design, in our world. Genesis chapter 1 tells us how the world started. God spoke everything into existence apart from mankind. And on our next slide, we have the words that tell us how Adam was created. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then these amazing words, and man became a living soul. Those words stand out for us. Man is not an animal. No animal has a soul. Here's the distinction. The breath of God breathed into the first man, and man became a living soul. The real part of us that lives on. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God bless them. Such important words to hold on to. To stand firm on Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is more important than ever in our nation today. For our children, fight for them that they will know God created them, male and female. Pray for our schools, pray for Christian teachers, and pray for our children who are being taught error from the devil. God created them in his image, in his likeness, with a heart and a soul that longs for satisfaction and can only be found in God. God has planted eternity in the human heart, and that's why every man, every woman continually seeks for satisfaction and fulfilment. We hear people saying, don't we, I find real fulfilment in my job. That doesn't last. People might say, I find real fulfilment, you know, in my hobbies, my pastimes. That doesn't last forever. The only one who can give true fulfilment is God, who's planted eternity in the human heart. Pray for our children, pray for our young people, and pray for godly believers who are working with those who are distressed and confused and doing such a great work sharing the love of God with them. Thinking about the violin now, the materials that are needed. Of course, the violin, the best violins, are made from wood. Nowadays, we get modern violins, electric violins, and I'm afraid I'm a traditionalist. I still think the wooden ones are the best. And if we could show the next pictures, the top picture shows the wood that's used for the front of the violin. The picture in the corner here shows the wood that's used for the back of the violin. Anybody tell me what the wood is for the front of the violin? Oh, I can hear somebody saying it. Spruce, well done, Elaine. So spruce is used for the front of the violin. It's very light wood, but it's very strong
And it's flexible, so it can be carved into the beautiful shape. It also produces the wonderful tone that you get from a violin. The wood at the back, any ideas there? Pardon? Oh, very close, Dave. It looks like the oak leaf, doesn't it? Think of Canada, the Canadian version. Maple, that's right. So maple wood for the back. And again, that's chosen. It has a beautiful figure on the back. And if you look at the back of the violin, you can see the beautiful design there in the figure. And again, that all helps with the tone of the violin. Those materials are chosen so carefully. God, our great designer, does exactly the same for us. Chooses for each one of us our DNA, our character, our personality. And a life that's totally surrendered to the Lord, that character and personality can shine for the Lord Jesus. The wood is chosen, and then it's stacked, and it's sealed. Sometimes, before it's sealed, there's a problem with it. We could have the next one, thank you. So sometimes there is staining on the wood. There might be water stains, there might be fungus. And so that wood has to be cleaned, and it's usually with a solution containing borax, and it cleans the wood so that the wood will be absolutely perfect to make the violin. Remember the old hymn? What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God created us, but sin very quickly entered the world because man sinned. Man wanted to be equal to God, wanted more, didn't realise God had given everything, absolutely everything. And so every one of us is born with sin in our nature. But our sin can be washed away. We look to the cross, don't we? Praise God, that cross is empty because Jesus is alive and defeated the power of sin, defeated the power of death, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Our next slide speaks about the blood of Jesus. So Peter says in his letter, it wasn't with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. God knew before he created Adam that Jesus would come to die for you and me. It was all in God's plan. He knew what would happen. Think of the tremendous love of God, that he still created man and he still wanted that relationship with man. Money can't buy salvation. Good works can't buy salvation, can't buy us freedom from guilt, from sin, from death. Only the blood of Christ. A lamb. The Lord Jesus is often described as a lamb, and we know in the Old Testament the lamb was the sacrifice for the sins. Through Jesus we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so our faith and hope are in God. Those are good words, aren't they, to say to ourselves every day. My faith and my hope is in God, because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. God knew, the Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world. Tremendous love. Tremendous grace of God and the Lord Jesus. We first come across the lamb at the time of the Passover, when the Israelites were in Egypt and Pharaoh wouldn't release them, and so God sent the plagues on the people of Egypt. And God said, I will kill the firstborn of every family. But if you kill a lamb that has no blemish, no defect, is absolutely perfect, and then put the blood over the doorpost, over the lintel, when the angel of death passes over Egypt, it will see the blood and pass over. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Remember those words of John the Baptist very early on when he saw the Lord Jesus? And he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The lamb had to be perfect, without blemish or defect. The only person that could die in my place and in your place was a perfect man. Because they were taking my punishment for sins and your punishment for sins, there had to be no punishment for them. And that's why Jesus came, God, man, absolutely perfect, and died in our place. It's wonderful, isn't it, to remember that moment when we first realised Jesus died for me. And I come to the cross and I thank him. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for taking my punishment. Tremendous love. I can't understand it, but I do accept that wonderful gift of eternal life. So as Christians, does that mean that we never sin? No. We know that, don't we? We all have to be honest. When I play my violin on my bow, you can see it's fairly white today, and that's because I put rosin on it. Normally 4 or 5 times with my rosin block, I go backwards and forwards, and it makes the bow lovely and smooth. And then the violin is ready for action, ready to be used. Every day, as Christians, we go out into the world, and we're surrounded by things that are ungodly, immoral, and against God's word. It bombards us, doesn't it? Adverts. See them on hoardings as we drive or walk around. Hear it on the radio. See it on the television. Hear it in conversation, in the shops, in the streets, in the workplace. When I've been using my violin, the rosin actually comes off. And I don't know if you can see, but if I ping the bow, you can see a little white cloud comes off. As I play on the strings, that rosin comes onto my violin. When I finish playing my violin, usually here, there's quite a white patch. The rosin is very, very sticky. And if I leave it on my violin and just put it away, the wood starts to get damaged. Gradually, the varnish comes off. The wood can even crack. The varnish can go into the cracks. And then my violin won't give the beautiful, pure tone that the maker intended it to make. In the same way, every day, we need to come to God, don't we? We need to come to him and say, I've been bombarded by this. Sometimes it's hard to get an image you may have seen on the TV, on an advert, out of your mind. And we pray, Father, please take it away. Cleanse my mind. Please remove it. Sometimes we come to God and we say, I shouldn't have said that. I know that was wrong. Or I should have spoken then and I'm sorry I didn't. We bring our thoughts, our deeds and our actions to the Lord on a daily basis. And if we confess our sins to God alone, not to a man, to God, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then our tone is pure and sweet again, like the violin. When I'm teaching my pupils and they get their first violin, I always say to them, it's very, very important where you keep the violin at home. Don't put it next to a radiator because it will get too hot. The wood will dry out and you'll definitely get cracks. Don't put it in a very cold room. Don't put it in the conservatory if you've not got heating in there, because it will be way too cold for the violin. Your strings will slip and again, the wood could be damaged. And there you can see a violin that has been damaged, a little bit chipped on the corners, obviously not carried too carefully as well. There's a really interesting quote about the care of a violin. The ideal atmosphere for a violin is, of course, precisely the one in which the instrument was made. And that's right next to the maker in the maker's workshop. Tremendous parallel there for us, isn't there, as believers? Created by God, a new creation, if we're a believer, and the ideal atmosphere for us to preserve that beautiful fragrance and tone of life as a Christian is right next to the Maker, precisely where we were created. We became a new creation when we came to the foot of the cross. So that's a good place. Keep coming back to the foot of the cross. It's good to pray, isn't it? Help me, Lord, to see even more the depth of the meaning of the cross. We have a better hope introduced by which we draw near to God. So we're encouraged in Hebrews, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Sometimes we can feel, can't we, oh no, I've failed again, I'm not good enough, and we feel, how can I come to God? But we remember the prodigal son and the father with his arms wide open wide, so wide to receive the son. And the son had gone away, had sinned against the father greatly. The only thing he met with when he came back was love and grace. And that's what God is like to us. Arms wide open. As for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Write that over our lives. It's good to be near God. Sometimes trials and testings come into our lives. Every one of us will face trials. Every one of us will face testings. If we have a look at the picture of where the spruce is grown, when the violin maker is choosing the spruce, they choose wood that's grown in the harshest conditions. So usually on the highest mountain, most exposed to all the extremities of weather. That wood will have exactly the right tone to produce beautiful music. If they chose spruce from lowlands that was well sheltered by other trees, the sound would be dull. It wouldn't be rich. It wouldn't be powerful. And so only the beautiful tone comes from wood grown in really harsh conditions. The wood's dried and it's usually stored for 10 years while it matures. Even better, violin maker says, is wood that's stored for 50 years. I think that's a great encouragement, isn't it? Because sometimes we think, I want to do this for God. And particularly as a young person, we can think that, and then we want to rush into it. Sometimes God takes the time to prepare us, takes us through very, very difficult conditions. And as he's doing that, he's bringing out the beautiful tone of the Lord Jesus in our life. So the trials have come so that the proven genuineness of our faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, our faith may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. And that's the whole purpose of our lives, that in us the beauty of Christ may be seen to his praise, his glory, and his honour. When the violin maker takes their piece of spruce after 10 or 50 years, one of the things they do to check the tone is they drop it on the floor. And if I was there, I think I would be, oh no, the wood is going to crack completely. But they drop it on the floor and they listen for the ring of the tone. And if that ring is pure and beautiful, they know this is going to make a wonderful violin. Sometimes we feel like that in life. We've been at a height and we're dropped. And we feel as though we're falling. Have you ever had the dream where you fall downstairs? You never ever reach the bottom? A lot of us can dream like that. And sometimes we can feel, I'm being dropped and I can't get back up. But there's a wonderful verse in Deuteronomy. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And when we feel I've been dropped, we're not like that piece of wood. We're not going to hit the ground because God's arms are underneath. He knows the wonderful tone. Life can be stressful, can't it? Life can be very stressful. Life can be so busy. Everybody's rushing around. Everything has to be done now. In the violin, if you start to see a tiny crack appearing in the wood, you immediately release the strings because that tension of the strings will make the crack grow. And the violin needs to rest. It needs a period of rest and a period of recovery. Well, how much more us? Sometimes we can feel very tired, very stressed, and the Lord Jesus immediately says, come with me, by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. As a Christian, we never, ever need to feel guilty about saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, and come in just to be with ourselves, with the Lord, and taking some rest. The Lord Jesus spoke those words to the disciples. They'd been tremendously busy with crowds of people coming to Jesus. And he told his disciples, just come with me yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. That wonderful promise the Lord Jesus gives, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we think about the yoke, when a young oxen is being trained, they put an older, experienced one on one side that leads. And then the young oxen walks at the same pace and learns how to plough a field. But the whole weight of the yoke is on the older, more mature oxen. So as that young oxen is walking, there's hardly any weight on their back. And that's the picture the Lord Jesus is giving. He's saying, give me your burdens. Give me the weight of the yoke, walk next to me, and I will give you rest. Well, we've had a very quick look at the making of the violin. There are loads of other things. It's fascinating to look at the parts of a violin and how that relates to being a believer in the Lord Jesus. There's a picture of a violin, a beautiful instrument that can create a beautiful sound. The shape of a violin is designed to withstand the forces imposed on it. If you think of the violin, there's tremendous force without it being played, just with those strings pulled tight over the bridge and on the wood. And then once you start to play it, there's also the pressure of the bow. You listen to some amazing virtuosic violinists in a concert doing a solo, and the bow is moving at speed, the pressure on that instrument. But the shape is designed to withstand those forces. The beauty of the curves of the violin, of the shape, is a direct and unavoidable consequence of this. The violin can only withstand those forces if it's designed with those curves and with that shape. And as a result, we then get a beautiful, beautiful instrument. When we come to Christ, we're a new creature, a new creation. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And there's beauty in that new creation, because the new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And we can know with an assurance that God has created us to withstand those forces. Those forces are hard. My violin needs servicing every couple of years, because otherwise it would crack open, it wouldn't be able to keep producing the tone. And we need that. We need that rest, that continual renewal by the Holy Spirit. But we can be beautiful for God, and his beauty of righteousness and holiness can shine out through our lives. Anybody know who made the most valuable violin in the world?
Stradivarius.
Yeah, Stradivarius. And there's a picture of it front and back. Most beautiful and the most valuable violin in the world. Occasionally it's loaned out to soloists who are playing, and they take great care of it, and they love to play it, the tone that it produces. It's most valuable.
How much is it worth?
That's a good question, Tom. I don't know. No. You know, it's always good to get a question that you have to say, I don't know, I'll look it up. So if anybody can find out how much it is worth, and then that would show us the next bit, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, priceless gift of salvation, so valuable. So maybe we could say it's priceless, Tom. Priceless gift of salvation. But we don't always feel, do we, as though we're the most valuable violin in the world. Very often we feel more like this picture. Old, battered, little bit chipped, strings going slightly out of tune, not quite sure if we can get through that sheet music. Very often we feel like that. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar. Then two? Only two? $2. And who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three? But no. From the back of the room, far back, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet, as a carolling angel sings. The music ceased, And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? And who'll make it two? 2,000? And who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man, with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A glass of wine, a pack of cards, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Have we let the master's hand touch our life and draw the bow across our violin? It makes all the difference. We may feel battered and scarred, but that nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus is stretched out in love to us. And he says, "I offer you forgiveness for your sins. I paid the punishment. Come to me and let me draw my bow across your life." You may belong to the Lord Jesus already, but feel, "Lord, I'm not doing so well today." And the Lord Jesus says, "Come, come to me. Let me draw the bow across your life, and I will produce that beautiful tone in your life, the beautiful new creation." We're going to sing our praises to God now.